Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to this week's Must Hear Music Podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Natalie Weiner.
Hey.
And you, whoever you are listening. So
wow.
Thanks for joining us. if
meta.
You have not, please, yeah, very, well, whatever. If you haven't, why don't you subscribe to the Must Hear Music Podcast? Because I don't know. Why not? I would if
yeah,
I were you.
Yeah, you never
and,
miss an episode.
You already do is what you're supposed to say. You subscribe and listen every week to your own voice.
Sure. Anyways. But yeah, and also one thing I wanted to say is, you know, a lot of times, I mean, I certainly am guilty of this. Things I like and enjoy very much, I tend to not write reviews about them because usually unless you're like really furious about like food delivery taking 5 hours, you don't write a review. But if you casually listen to this podcast and enjoy it and have one or two nice words about it to say, that would be cool if you would go and review us on iTunes.
That would be great.
We would appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
just seeing Joe's face, like imagining those reviews.
He's really glowing right now. Nobody can see.
I kind of want to write a review.
I'm beaming.
Yeah.
Just thinking about all those beautiful reviews coming
all
in.
All the 5-star
just rolling in.
Thingies.
Wow.
I'm not even asking
Isn't
for 5 stars.
There is a star system.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Anyways. So, yeah. But now let's get down to the tunes. So, I mean, there's kind of one that we have to start out with, I feel. And
Carly Rae.
Yes,
obviously
it's
not Carly Rae, but
oh,
we are going to get to Carly Rae. Just for that, she's going third.
No. Last. Save best for last.
So Drake has the second of two. Apparently, this will be the middle in a trilogy of Meek Mill
diss
tracks. Yes, that is
what McConan says, and if McConan says it, it must be true.
So. Yeah, so probably by the time you're listening to this, the third of these diss tracks will have dropped. For now, all we have is Charged Up and Back to Back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about Back to Back. So that came out after, well, I mean, I'm sure you're aware that Meek Mill accused Drake of using ghostwriters and Drake kind of used his like producers and like friends to respond very, very Taylor Swift-esque where like she kind of never gets in the dirt until actually the Nicki Minaj thing. And like he lets his friends kind of like do the defense for him. And then he just like comes in with a diss track that destroys it all.
Yeah. There was actually, I don't know if you read the John Caramonica like Twitter thing about the like Nicki Taylor Meek Drake thing.
I did not.
But he draws a parallel between Taylor and Drake that is quite apt.
Ooh.
Similar to what you are saying now.
Interesting.
So, yeah, check that out.
Yeah. New York Times, whatever. A bunch of old fuddy duddies, right?
Pretty much.
Just start a beat with the New York Times at Billboard. Kidding. No kidding. John Caramonica is great.
Drop a diss track for us, New York Times.
That would anyway, so yeah, so Back to Back, definitely, this is a Natalie pick, so I'm going to toss it to you, but I would say, like, when I heard Charged Up, I was like, what, this is a diss track? Like, it was so, like, light and
Drake.
Roundabout. Yeah, so
I
was like,
I don't know why people thought that, though. I thought it was, like, a good diss track. I mean,
I enjoyed it, but
Back
I think this one
better.
Is more intense.
Yeah, I
yeah,
agree
there
with
just
that.
Wasn't any, like, if it's a diss track, there weren't any good disses. Like, this one has, like,
that's true. Like the line that stuck out the most from Charged Up that everyone was like, was "No woman ever had me starstruck," which more a diss at Rihanna and Nicki Minaj than it
is. Yeah, or like the Six God is watching. like that's not that. That's like okay.
That's
kind of
like
watching.
Lil B. Like okay.
Yeah. But like, this has like, is this a world tour or your girls tour?
Yeah. Which is pretty and also harsh. Your trigger fingers become a Twitter finger, like.
Yeah.
And I love this.
Which is fair. Like, I mean, come it's definitely
because it's like very because Miguel was in jail for having guns and now he's just tweeting a lot.
In Twitter jail for using Twitter. Like, it's true.
Which is good. I mean, it's not like
no, it's we not should like encourage him. Yeah, we don't yeah. need him to be. No, this is not promoting gun violence.
The other. Yeah. Natalie wants more guns is what I'm hearing here.
Wow. Hot take.
OK, anyways, the last thing I'll say, the one that stuck out to me that I loved was when he says something like he's not going to like return to this or gloat about this, not even when she tell him they better as friends.
Yeah.
Basically predicting that Minaj is going to dump him, which I mean,
there was just a piece on Jezebel that went up like a second ago that was like, Nikki needs to dump Meek.
I mean, it probably will happen at some point. Like being realistic, like most relationships don't last, especially celebrity ones. And like if anyone's going to dump anyone, well, like, she's going to leave him in the dust.
Oh, wow. For sure. I mean, if anyone's dumping anyone, Meek Mill is not dumping Nicki Minaj. There is just no way on the planet that that's happening.
Yeah, that's true.
But but yeah, I think it's just. It's just crazy how this has all gone down fundamentally. It's just, I mean, and great for the internet. It's like, it's funny because it is definitely like beef in the age of the internet, you know? And Drake
that's
is
a good
doing it.
Book
just
title.
Drake is definitely, like, Drake is internet created more or less. Like, yeah. His persona in 2015 is like, definitely a product of the internet, and you see how clueless Meek Mill is in comparison, like with the kind of language and the way you function and that way. He's just like out here, he's like, Drake didn't tweet about my album, so I'm gonna like talk shit on Twitter. And it's like, wait, what? Like, there's just like no subtlety and no understanding that he's like kind of making himself look like an idiot. And the track is just like, it's good. I mean, it's not like the peak of Drake, but it's very good for something that he put together in like a day, you know?
Yeah.
Without the help of many writers.
I know. This is a whole separate issue, but like, I've never really understood Meek's beef with Drake. It's like,
it's literally because he didn't tweet his album. That's what he said.
Yeah, but it's like, what? His whole attack against him is that he's inauthentic, but it's like, yeah, we know. Like, that's his whole thing. Like, he was on a Canadian soap opera. Like, that he doesn't have like mobster stories in his albums. Like, you know, he talks about like running shit now, but he doesn't talk about like, I'm from the streets. No, you're from the Canadian soap opera. Like, it's just weird that's what has really ruffled Meek Mill's feathers. I love this song, and it's funny because in the same way that he kind of tossed out 0 to 100 and it was just a great song, I feel like this is kind of the replay value of this is really high.
Yeah, and it's going to get played in clubs. Like.
Yeah. Like, and you know, I will say though that like, if I was giving this like a star system, to go back to the star system, he would definitely lose one star for having the cover art be Joe Carter beating the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh yeah,
my
okay,
hometown
so Jason
team.
Is from Philadelphia. This is important context.
Yes. Well, I'm from outside of Philly. That's but
okay.
Very close
yes,
to Philly.
Yes, that sounds very different.
Though. Yeah. So I remember being 6 years old and watching Joe Carter prance around Veterans Stadium and destroying the Phillies, and I just was so sad. And every
Drake,
time.
This is all your fault. You've made Jason sad.
Yeah. Like, I have some, like, sports comebacks that Meek Mill could get. Like, have, like, Iverson, like, stepping over Vince Carter in the 2001 playoffs. Let's do that.
Meek.
Call me
Jason
Drake.
Jason up for
call,
protests.
Oh, yeah. No,
on
call
your
me Meek. Track. Yeah.
Like, they were like on Twitter, it was just absurd. Like, Red Bull Philly like tweeted, they were like, Meek, if you need to use our studio, just hit us up for your diss track. Somebody
know.
Started GoFundMe. Like, it was like
the Meek absurd. Mill memes. Like, here's something I was, and we have to move on from this, but like, very, very quickly, do you think that this is good or bad for Meek Mill? Because,
bad.
Like, so you, I think it's bad, but I talked to someone who was convinced that it was good. because not that many people knew who Meek Mill was before this week.
I think that is the upside of it, is that Meek Mill think was not known outside of hip-hop circles, and now he definitely is.
But, like,
solely because
to what
this.
End, I guess?
I mean, being a name is important. Like, that this could open up, like, TV gigs, and that opens up, like, brand sponsorships and, like...
The Meek Mill Show.
No, but, like, appearances and stuff. I mean, like, being an entertainer is, you know, it's, yeah. like, it, you can't just sell music these days. Like, you, it's all about, like, right, what, you know, like, Sprite gonna, like, put you on their new bottle or whatever the hell is going on.
Yeah, I like that.
Sprite shit like
gonna
that.
Put you on your new bottle or whatever the hell is going on.
Yes.
Both of those things.
Yeah, it's just, his whole thing is like street cred, and he just kind of looks like a dweeb right now. So it's a little rough for.
I do feel like, though, after this, like, he could become a guest on The Tonight Show, whereas, like, pre-Drake beef, there's no way they were going to be like, hey, let's sit down with Meek Mill and talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, even with the Nicki connection, I feel like this is just enough to kind of, like, push him over.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that sense, great, I guess, even though, like, he's definitely the loser.
I mean,
so
we,
far,
he could
at least.
Still
so
do something. We'll
yeah,
do
maybe
something
his diss
right,
track will
like,
be, like,
within the next
nuts.
Hour.
Right.
Yeah.
He tweeted something, or he put something on Instagram where he was, like, holding a wad of cash, which is, like, okay, and he was like, I'm on my way to the studio, 5 hours to Montreal. I was like, all right, sure, like, we'll see what happens. Meek Mill,
I've done that a bunch, though. Like, yeah. I've Instagram myself with wads of cash
and
on my way to the office.
It's just every morning.
Billboard,
it's a little too much.
Yeah.
Especially when they're just Monopoly money. Like, it's pretty obvious to tell in those pictures.
Oh, also, just like, shout out to people who are listening. Meek Mill played Amen at his show on Sunday, but he only did the chorus, and it didn't really compute for me until afterwards. But, like, both he and Nicki did songs that they had done with Drake, and it was just kind of like, interesting choice.
It makes me sad. It, like, I was thinking about, like, this will all blow over, obviously, but, like, it makes me sad that, like, there's such a rift. Like, I like songs with that feature both Rick Ross and Drake on them, like, and Nicki and Drake. I like Moment for Life. It's a good song.
Yeah. I don't think we'll never have that again.
Yeah,
I
but we can't have it now.
He is too savvy
we can't
as
have
a
it
business
right
woman.
Now.
Yeah, we can't have Moment for Life part two. Maybe that's a good thing.
You might not see a Drake Rihanna collab again, though.
Yeah.
All right.
That ship
well,
has
let's,
sailed.
Let's give a listen to it. So it's Drake back to back. And here it is.
Second floor tussies getting shoulder rubs. Just for y'all to think that I don't write enough. They just mad cause I got the Midas touch. You love her then you gotta get a world tour. Is that a world tour or your girl's tour? I know that you gotta be a thug for her. This ain't what she meant when she told you to open up more.
All right, that was the Drake Meek Mill diss track back to back. Next up, let's talk about a song from I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do Disclosure featuring Sam Smith.
Skipping over CRJ.
We'll get to CRJ next.
All right.
So Disclosure. This is from their upcoming album Caracol. I think it's pronounced
Caracol.
I don't know. Anyways, so Disclosure are back with Sam Smith on this new song Omen. On their first album Settle, which was kind of like a surprise hit in that, I guess I wasn't surprised that it did well because it was excellent, but like it really crossed over to audiences that don't typically listen to dance music and made them like, I don't want to say international stars, but recognized at least, you know, like suddenly they were like working with Madonna and now they're working with Lorde. Like, so it was a pretty big album for them. The kind of centerpiece of that album, or at least the biggest breakthrough hit, was Latch with Sam Smith, and that was also his, like, kind of breakthrough moment to U.S. audiences. Yeah. So they kind of, like, together, like, they helped break each other, and this is, now that they're both, like, enormous, I mean, Sam Smith's In the Lonely Hour continues to be one of the best-selling albums of that year. Mm-hmm. They have a song together on the new Disclosure album.
Sure
and
do.
It's called Omen, and I love it. I definitely think this is a grower, not a shower. I'd say I didn't.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I will never stop using that phrase on this podcast.
It's gross.
And if there's one thing I would say about Disclosure, it's grower, not shower. Wow. Just a little background info. No, I think, the first time, so I watched the video, it has this like sci-fi theme. And I was like, okay, this is kind of a good song, whatever. And by the third time, because I just really like Disclosure, so I gave it the benefit of a few listens. And I was like, once you like let it sink in, like this is a very well-constructed, like kind of beautiful, awesome dance song. And I think it doesn't have that like sweet immediate hook that Latch did. And it also isn't exactly like a huge leap forward. Like you wouldn't listen to this and be like, wow, they've grown by leaps and bounds since the last album. But I do think you can grow exactly without changing your sound, and that seems to kind of be, they're just kind of like honing in on what they do. So I am, and just together, like Sam Smith's voice with Disclosure's music, it's a beautiful thing. What do you guys think of it?
I'll let Natalie go. Go ahead.
Oh, Jason's going to come in and just.
I actually am not. I wanted you to go first.
I don't know. It's like, it's interesting to have such a definitive follow-up, you know, because Latch was like so enormous, and then it's like, here's the sequel, basically. I mean, like, they didn't say that, but it is.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I liked it a lot. Obviously, it's beautifully produced. That is their strong suit. I feel like you're right. It doesn't like have the hook. It just, the chorus is just not, it doesn't have the same kind of power, I think, that Latch did. You know, it's probably unfair to compare them, but whatever, I'm doing it anyway.
It doesn't latch on to you.
Oh,
I'm just going to walk out of this room. I'm really sorry.
Bye, Joe. Bye.
Yes, that. Yeah, but I mean, it's good. I think it'll definitely get play, but I don't see it going quite as big as Latch did. Just because that, like, the chorus, you're just like, it's like time to while out when that comes on.
I would agree with that. Like, I don't think this is going to be a huge hit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that this is kind of like the deja vu to Crazy in Love that was Latch, where it's like, oh, let's run it back.
Ooh, and, all right. Like some Beyonce comparison. References.
Oh, you know, I try. you know, it's like, let's run it back and be wildly successful again. It's sort of like kind of a sequel in the same way that like, Grown Ups 2 was a sequel to Grown Ups, which is like, now I'm just making wild
comparisons. I don't but even, like I
wait,
literally
you mean like the movie Grown Ups?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have never seen either.
It's just like the same, it's like the same formula again. And people who liked the first one are going to like this one. I don't think it's much, there's not much innovation. I think that it's a little disappointing in terms of that. I feel like the Disclosure album is wildly acclaimed, but like rightfully so, because it just pushed dance music and house music in such interesting directions. In 2013, they were doing things that were so keen and so focused for being so young, and now they're you're right, they're working with like superstars. And I feel like this is sort of like, I don't want to call it a cop-out because it's not a cop-out, but like I would have liked to hear a new Disclosure single with someone that wasn't Sam Smith. Like, not to say like they should never work with him again, but like
Border.
What?
they did one with Gregory Porter.
Yes.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah. Well, I know, but
I'm
like, I want to hear.
He's like a less expected voice.
I want to hear, like, another cool name.
Meek Mill.
Meek Mill.
Disclosure
featuring Meek Mill. combining for a Drake diss track called Omen.
Wow.
I think that this is a very good song. I think that it's not an excellent song. And that's kind of what I wanted to happen. So
I think those are both fair points.
Yeah.
You know, I like the song. I see where you're both coming from. So let's
agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree, I suppose.
I don't agree to disagree. Never mind. I'm not going to give up on that. Too many double negatives getting in. So let's listen to it. Disclosure featuring Sam Smith, Omen. It must be an Alright, that was the new Disclosure and Sam Smith. And now finally let's do it.
Yeah.
The one, the only,
Carly
the legendary Ray. Carly Rae Jepsen. Canadian Idol alum.
Oh yeah.
Wow, so many Canadians on the podcast.
And
yeah,
this is a Canadian
yeah, that's true.
Heavy
that's true.
Podcast. So the song is Runaway With Me. This is I lost count. Like, it's from her new album Motion, or is it I don't know. Like,
I think it's just emotion.
Just emotion.
But like, I spelled it as like emotion, and then people were like, "No, there's like spaces in the middle." I'm like, "All right, everyone, calm down. Like, we'll be fine."
Artists,
yeah.
Please stop stylizing your things weirdly, because it just makes
yeah.
it really hard to.
It makes it really irritating to write.
2 yards. Like, come on.
Like,
with
it's
that.
Just like a struggle.
I can't
so many
do
words
that.
To type already. And we have to do all sorts of crazy things.
yeah. So. Runaway With Me is the lead song on Carly Rae Jepsen's new album, Emotion. The whole album's great, but this is such a spectacular song. If you just listen, I think this might be one of, if not the best, or at least the most well-made pop song of the year. If you just listen to... I know.
Flex
dropping
bombs.
we can add sound effects in post production.
Can you please get the thing with the buttons for the...
No.
Get the thing with the buttons. Right. Come on. No, if you just listen to the production, if you listen to the songwriting, like everything from verse to bridge to chorus just makes so much sense. It's just everything ornately fits together, but also is not like mathematical. It's so passionate and full of desire and sensual, and it's just like, this is what pop music should be doing. Like, it should be inspiring and it should be lovely, and I feel like it Aww. This is what I want to hear in every pop song, is like for you to get that rush, and I feel like this delivers that rush. And it's not Rush, the band Rush. Anyway,
definitely not.
That was a Joe joke. I apologize.
Yeah, it was definitely a Joe joke. Joe's even removed his cardigan. He should not be making dad jokes anymore.
But that's what this song does. It makes Joe someone like Joe remove his cardigan. to feel like they're free
remove
to
your
roam.
Inner cardigan, if you will.
But yeah. the lyrics are just so smart, and her delivery is just so on point, and. It's not like she has the most stunning voice, but she knows exactly what to do with it, where to make it crack, where to make it swoon. It's just like, this is everything I want. And like, I joke because so many like music writers say that Kiss, her 2012 album, is underrated, that I feel like it's almost a little overrated now, where I'm like, oh, it's a great album, but it's
Jason
like
with the backlash.
Yeah. but music Twitter is so in love with Kiss.
Yo, it's all, if one person says it, then everybody thinks
that's
it.
Very
you know
true
that's
too.
How it is.
But it is really a great album, but this one is just like on a whole new level, and I mean, this is great. This is so great. I wish this was the first single instead of I Really Like You, even though I enjoy that song. This is just monumentally better. So that's my steaming hot Carly Rae Jepsen take.
Yeah. It's going to be my response.
It's hard to follow up that enthusiasm.
Yeah, I feel like I really like the song, but I can't match the same enthusiasm for it. Like, it's very lovely. It's, like you said, like, this is just, like, really perfectly constructed pop. She has her voice. She does so much with, like you said, you know, not, like, the most technically stunning voice, but she knows how to deliver pop and sell it, and that's kind of what it's about. Like, you believe her emotions, which is, you know, the title of the album. But yeah, I mean, but, you know, kind of like what we were saying with this Omen versus Latch and like this versus Call Me Maybe, or even like the opening track on Kiss, Tiny Little Bows. Like, it's not as immediately catchy. Like, I don't see this being like a big top 40 hit for her. And no, I don't know if there is a top 40 hit on this album. And I mean, I think this just might be one of those things where it's like music critics who like pop are all over this, but the rest of the population is just kind of going to like shrug and be like, all right, here we go.
She's the Kacey Musgraves of August 2015 instead of June 2015.
But it's great. And yeah, I loved Kiss too. I mean, that was a really good album. I mean, and, you know, start to finish good pop album is
kind of hard as a muscle.
Is a rare thing. Oh, yeah. Although that Bieber acoustic duet
that
was terrible.
That Bieber song is terrible. Yeah.
So bad. Mm. Yeah.
And that's why, that's always the caveat when people talk about Kiss. It's like, but that Bieber song.
And I like Bieber too. I thought Believe was cool. Yeah. I liked a lot of songs on that.
I thought Believe was cool too, man.
Alas, I don't know. What do you think, Natalie? Carly Rae, Run Away With Me?
I was into it. It has kind of the breathlessness a little bit that keeps you kind of engaged. It's just kind of like there's excitement there, you know, which I can get into, and I concur with Jason that it is very well crafted and, you know, engaging. I was kind of interested by that like weird piano saxophone synth thing that's like running through it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like it's the only thing that really exactly the thing that kind of sticks out in the production, because it's pretty like glossy all the way around, but there's like that one thing, and it's just an interesting touch to me, because I feel like it's like they added it in intentionally to kind of give it a little bit of grit, to kind of like disarm you a little bit, so it wasn't too shiny. And I think that's interesting. I think that also happens on another song we're going to talk about, which I will bring up later. But it's kind of like this intentional throwback, retrograde, not totally 2015 centric vibe that interests me.
Cool. Well, let's give a listen to it. So, Carly Rae Jepsen, Run Away With Me. All right, that was Carly Rae Jepsen, new song, Run Away With Me. Right now we're going to do a little quick thing, a new feature we're going to be doing each week on the Must Hear Music podcast.
Surprise!
Surprise! It's going to be called, or I guess is being called right now, Must Hear Throwback Track.
Only Joe got to pick one.
it's my podcast. Sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever.
we're gonna toss to, and I just thought of this when Natalie was describing breathless pop, it made me think of one of my favorite songs of all time, which is Kate Bush, Hounds of Love, which is the title track from the album Hounds of Love. And that's another like a weird point in the 80s where kind of like art rock and radio pop like met and were the same thing for a brief moment, and it lasted for maybe like a second and then was never again. But it's a weird, strange song. Like what she does with her vocals is odd. She barks during the song. The lyrics like half make sense, but it's beautiful, and there's just kind of like this breathless enthusiasm for love and romance in it. And Kate Bush is awesome, and I think Hounds of Love, if you are not familiar, watch the music video. It's a trip. Anyone have anything to add if they are?
I do. I have two things to add. First of all, if you haven't heard the Future Heads cover of Hounds of Love, have you never heard
that? I haven't heard that.
What? Oh, no. You have to hear it, like, immediately. Right. It's it's as good as the original.
Joe, that's, you haven't lived.
I don't.
And I love
that.
The original, but
I
you'll,
do not believe that.
That's fair. Secondly, if you have not checked out Kate Bush's last album, 50 Words for Snow,
she actually had one since then. That was like the re-recording of older songs.
Oh, that's
it doesn't exactly count.
Come on.
No, you're right. But yeah.
50 Words for Snow, which includes the title track where she just says 50 words that mean snow. God damn, I love that album.
It's good. Yeah, it is good. Anyways. All right. So that wraps this little must hear throwback. All right. What should we do next? We have
Let's do Natalie's one. I like that song.
Okay, yeah, Gallant. Gallant?
I would say gallant.
Gallant?
Oh, we both
I mean
we
gallant
both
is a word.
Gallant is a word.
Anyways, yeah. Gallant Weight in Gold, it's the Taku remix. And I liked the original and
yeah,
I like this
too.
Remix a lot too. And I'm gonna let you take it from there.
Cool. Yeah. I just was like I don't know. I don't get like super into producers very often, but I have, you know, been seduced by the Soulection crew. You know, it's hard to resist their kind of breezy, like smooth takes on many popular songs. And this is no exception, kind of taking the original from like anthemic pop thing, which is fantastic and already sounds really good. And he kind of like brings it down to like a more seductive sort of like post Dilla hip hop drum place, which is like really dope. And it just sounds good because it showcases his voice a little more. And Gallant or Gallant or whatever has like a great voice. It's just like a very, very, very good song. And yeah. I feel like that sound is almost becoming cliche. The like, we're gonna take this song and make it sound like Jay Dilla produced it. but this is like a good one, a good example of that, not like a boring one. Because yeah. It's pretty easy to do, you know, and it's like, oh, this sounds so cool and fresh, but it's like, no, people have been doing this for like 3 or 4 years now.
Annoying trend, but ignore the trend.
This is a particularly good example. Yeah. And Taku is in general like very, very good. And I like a lot of his stuff. And yeah, it's just like a good way. If you haven't heard Gallant before, you know, it's a good gateway into his stuff. But it's all a gateway. It's all really easy to listen to and good. So.
Yeah. No, this is something that I was not familiar and I really like. This I think that you're totally on point with his voice, and I think that just the sound of it is like it's so warm and refreshing, and it's like it doesn't try to overreach, and that's really all I want. Like I feel like it's a good like playlist ad, if that makes sense. Like it's a good like bridge connecting any two kind of fun songs that you want to listen to. That's
yeah,
a
true.
Weird compliment, but it's one I'm standing by.
No, that totally makes sense because it's one of those things where you're not like, man, I just need to listen to Weight in Gold.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like if it came up multiple times throughout a week, I would be very happy to listen to it.
Yeah. It's got kind of an effortless sound, I think. Yeah. The production.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. It's Gallant Weight in Gold, the Taku remix. Art that was the universally approved Gallant Weight in Gold remix.
Yeah.
And next up, let's do, this is one of my picks, Prince Royce featuring one and only Tyga.
Why did you?
Double Vision, which is the title track from Prince Royce's debut full-length English album. So the guy's been around for about 5 years. Bachata superstar, but this is his first all-English album. There was a song he did with Snoop, which I found kind of dumb. There was one he did with Pitbull
kinda
and J-Lo,
dumb.
Which I thought was extremely fun. this is another guest star on it is Tyga, who has had probably the worst year imaginable amongst
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, probably except Iggy. So anyways, though, regardless, though, and I'm not picking this because, like, Tyga's so incredible on it, but I just, like, like, Prince Royce, like, I think he does a really good job of just, like, kind of selling, like, sexy vocals, and I like what he does on this song, even though it's, like, kind of it's a silly song. Like, he's talking about being torn between loving two women and which one is he going to choose.
That's
what the double vision is.
I kept thinking this should be the theme song for The Bachelor.
Wow.
As a person who watches The Bachelor.
And it's over now. I happened to watch just the last 5 minutes, and I was like, they talk so slow. Sorry, we're getting really off track. But, like, when Caitlin and the guy who she picked, whose name's Sean, I think, they were, like talking how much they loved each other, but they just, like, were taking 10-second spaces between the words.
By emotion,
it was driving
Joe?
Me crazy.
That's what happens, Joe.
Ugh.
Haven't you even,
also,
like,
that guy, like,
before?
His face was lumpy. I was like, why did she pick him?
Yo, Sean is the... Twitter concurs that he is Ryan Gosling and Calvin Harris's sad baby.
That's good.
Or Macklemore's, like, sad cousin. It's just, like, one of many. There's a few options when it comes to dudes, like, white blonde dudes who have that haircut. But
But enough Bachelorette. Anyway, so Double Vision. It has this, like, cool, like, Stevie Wonder harmonica sound, like, going throughout.
Oh yeah, that was what. Yeah.
Turn that off.
Sorry, guys.
No, I thought it was, and you know, like the whole album is full of mostly like Latin tinge stuff, but he tends to, whenever he has a rapper on, he kind of tends to be like, okay, I'm going to do basically an R&B rap song now, which is what this is more tinged towards. But I think this one works really well. You know, Tyga does not embarrass himself. I don't know. What do you guys
see,
think
that's
about
where we
this?
Disagree. My good man. I really enjoyed this for the first minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyga showed up.
Tyga's just... I just can't.
Natalie's embarrassed for you, Joe.
Embarrassed for Tyga. I mean, Joe can help be seduced by the sexy sounds of Prince Royce. But,
yeah.
Like, Tyga is...
I thought this was such a fun song. And then Tyga shows up way too soon. Like, if you're gonna have Tyga on a song, like, you're just like... Oh, I guess I gotta have Tyga on this song, and like stick him like after like 3 minutes. Like,
yeah, like 16 bars, like at the end or whatever.
Yeah,
8 bars.
He said something. He starts his verse saying something very strange too. He's basically like, "You have on pants, take them off. It's time to dance or something like that."
But yeah, I remember hearing that.
I don't see what's strange about that.
He intimated. No, he was basically like. He was basically like, I think it was like something like, I see you still have your pants on, take them off, this is a dance song. I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, but why do you, I have pants on, like, what do you mean? Do you have a dance song? Like, I don't know. It just kind of killed the momentum for me, so.
I wasn't like in love with the song, but it was just interesting to me, like, it sounds like Britney-ish, like early, like,
ooh, I like
the
that.
End of Britney's real career, like I'm a Slave for You era Britney.
Her real career. She made like five albums after that.
Yeah,
whatever.
The Brit Army is going to tear you to shreds. And Femme Fatale was a classic, but you know, whatever.
Okay.
Classic is probably right. Overstated.
Whatever.
Very good.
When I was 10 and I was listening to Britney Spears, the way that she sounded then.
Sure.
This kind of has that vibe. It's like kind of a throwback thing, and I think part of it is this like harmonica that's mm-hmm. randomly thing. This is the thing with the Carly Rae Jepsen's. It's like there's one weird element that you know the producer, like, it was supposed to stick out. It's supposed to sound that way. You know, it wasn't just like they were like, whoa, we're playing synths. Here's another one. You know, it's like very intentionally like, you know, we're going to give this kind of a sound of a different era, like a little bit, which is obviously not like a new thing, but it's just interesting on two like such poppy songs to have that be a thing that people would try to do. Tyga is an idiot and terrible. Prince Royce is lovable and sweet.
Together somewhere in the middle.
The like Britney throwback sound is one I could get into hypothetically. Also, the whole like in love with two girls at the same time thing is like
It can happen, Natalie. just you wait till you get double vision.
Whoa. All right. Two are you guys. Prince Royce right now or are you Joe?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to tell Tyga. Sometimes.
He's Tyga.
Oh he's Tyga.
Yeah, I got Kylie blowing up my phone, guys. I gotta go.
I thought that sentence was gonna stop. Just kidding. anyway. Sorry. All right.
Wow. Let's listen to the song. Man.
Yeah, let's just listen to the song. So Prince Royce featuring Tyga, aka Kylie Jenner's boyfriend. The song is called
As
Double Vision.
By Khloe Kardashian.
Yep. All right, Double Vision.
Somebody help me now. Cause I just can't keep up with them. But I gotta make a decision.
I've got
Double Vision.
I've got
Double Vision.
All right, that was a title track from the new Prince Royce album. Next and last, we have Jason's Clarity.
Yeah.
Song is called Velcro. The song, or just in case you are going to Google this at home or on the go.
Hey, what's the song called?
What's
the song?
It's Clarity, but like spelled like the name Claire meets Clarity.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of, a, you know, like, is that
cute.
Annoying? Is it cute? I don't know.
I like it.
At home
Whatever.
Decide.
Come on.
Good SEO, you know?
Good SEO.
Sure.
SEO.
but yeah, it's a Jason pick. It samples or interpolates very strongly from a classic 80s song called Don't Go from this synth pop duo called Yazoo in England and Yaz in North America.
Really?
And,
I thought they were just Yazoo. I didn't know they were Yaz.
It was, for some reason, I don't know why exactly, but Yaz in America. And
Yaz.
Anyways.
It's birth control. Anyway.
Anyways.
Anyway.
And that duo was, Alison Moyet? I can't remember her name for sure. And then one of the guys from Depeche Mode. So, little history lesson.
Wow.
Gonna
drop
toss
knowledge.
To Jason.
Yeah, so I'll make this very quick because I feel like we've already run long on this podcast, Joe. But it's just a fun song. I like this song a lot. Like you said, Velcro, it takes Don't Go and updates it. Clarity is a 17-year-old singer-songwriter. Her name is Claire Rachel Wilkinson. She's from Tennessee. And this is on her debut EP on Lava Records. And I just really like it. I really like her. I think it's charming and fun. And the lyrics, like, keep your attention while the melody is the same. It's breezy.
It reminds you of Chris Brown.
No.
Oh my God, Joe.
Next week it's gonna be me and Natalie.
People
yeah.
are Joe's like
next
people
week's
Musty
Music Podcast is just gonna be me and Natalie and be like, yeah, Joe's on the Chris Brown Tyga tour.
yeah,
as a roadie.
Fan of a fan.
Yeah. Joe Lynch. I just want to note that I was not allowed to play Freak of the Week for all of you. Yet we had to listen to a Tyga song.
It's
so.
Not a Tyga song. It's a Prince Royce song featuring Tyga.
Oh,
that's
Tyga
your defense.
That's indefensible. Anyway, what did you guys think very quickly?
I liked it. Yeah, I mean, I think like I... you know, mentioned briefly before, it does very strongly take from an existing good song. So
yeah.
it's kind of hard to like talk about it on its own merits, but it sounds really good. And the lyrics are really funny. A lot of like shout outs to different things from the 80s and early 90s. So,
yeah.
Which I suppose if she's 17 is
yeah,
like, for her, like ancient kinda. History.
Yeah. Or doesn't exist at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I thought it was cool. What about you, Natalie?
Wow, someone who's 17 was born in 1998.
Let's not
that
talk
is
about
wild.
It.
Wild. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yep.
Jesus. Go figure.
Anyway, we're all old.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, it's interesting to me. That was surprising that she's 17. I didn't realize that when I was listening. Because it doesn't sound like 17-year-old's music.
No.
It sounds like very polished and
yeah.
put together. And her voice has like a pretty distinctive sound, like
yeah, I
for someone
totally
at that
agree.
Age, she's totally like got it together. Like, what I don't know, her brand, her image, her sound,
her je ne sais quoi. I'm just kidding, but using
Tyga
that
has infected Joe.
Yeah.
With, like,
He's going to be dropping French on the fan of a fan.
You know,
fan
you guys
tour.
Can diss Tyga as much as you want, but I am going to be laughing when I'm hanging out with the Jenner Kardashian clan, partying at the club, and you guys will not be allowed past the velvet.
Wow. Room.
Whoa.
You will be
the
laughing.
The visual
then.
Is so good. Like Joe with all the Kardashians, Jason and I outside waiting to get in.
Just like, oh, I guess we underestimated him, Natalie. And you're like, yeah. He's wearing his cool cardigan today.
Yes. I'll definitely have to wear my club cardigan for that.
Wait, what is your club cardigan? Does it sparkle?
Like silver?
I mean, I don't have one, but if I did. Yet. Sorry, I couldn't follow
that up. You
know
what I'm getting you for your birthday?
Yes, please.
I've definitely had club cardigans in the past. I could give you some tips.
Wow.
Actually, yeah, I did have one at one point. Now that you mention it, it was
there
black.
You
I
go.
Forgot about that. It was
the
black mesh. And it
black
did...
mesh?
Yeah.
All right. On that note.
All right. Let's move on. Anyways.
The Must Hear Music podcast.
So, yeah. Clarity, Velcro. Let's listen to it.
Nobody wants to dance with me. Don't want to dance with nobody. I don't want to dance with nobody. If you feel sexy.
All right, that was Clarity Velcro. That's all we got this week. I did want to give a couple shout-outs to stuff people tweeted in at us. We've got someone, British Music Addict, tweeted in Jess Glynn, don't be so hard on yourself, which, in case you don't remember or are not familiar, Jess Glynn is the guest voice on Clean Bandits' Rather Be, which is one of the like greatest songs of last year, and... I would say, you know, she's kind of at this point where it's like, is she going to be a thing on her own or not? And
yeah, she's a big deal in the UK.
Yeah.
She came, she's coming here. She's awesome. And I love Hold My Hand, her current single. But this is a good new track.
Yeah, I thought this one was awesome. I mean, I don't know if this is like a breakthrough for her, but it's called Don't Be So Hard on Yourself. And it really does a nice job of kind of like straddling a line between dance music and like a soulful like vocal delivery, which I guess is becoming increasingly common. But nevertheless, she does a really good job with it. I mean, if she sounds good and if she can do more stuff like this, I think she could be like a real artist in her own right.
Yeah.
And then the
a real artist.
Well, I mean, you know,
Joe
like
is the arbiter she's, of
Rather
she's
Be
the
Pinocchio.
Well, Rather
right
Be
now.
Was a Clean Bandit song. Like that was their victory. You
yeah,
know,
that's
like
true.
They made the
Joe
song.
Thinks she could be almost as good as Tyga.
I'm not even saying I like Tyga. I'm just saying I like whatever.
He's the fan of
you know
a
what,
fan
and I
fan.
Will go to the plate for Rack City. That was a great song.
Oh, I actually do love Rack City too.
But I can't say I've liked
sorry, Natalie.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Rack City, whatever. It's like a song about boobs. How can you resist?
Wow.
You heard
it.
Wow. Anyways. And then
the
other recommendation is Christina Grimmie, I think.
Grimmie.
Grimmie?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And I didn't know much about her. I knew, like, because I don't watch The Voice. I knew she was on The Voice.
Yeah.
But BT Dubs recommended her. The song was called Shrug. I thought the lyrics were really funny, and I liked that this is yet another whistle chorus song.
More whistle choruses.
Like, what was it? It was Adam Lambert's Ghost Town and something else earlier.
Hillary Duff Sparks.
Hillary Duff Sparks. There are so many great whistle tunes this
Jewel
year.
Santana, the whistle song.
Yeah, I mean, never forget Ying Yang Twins. So many good things. Anyways, so yeah, thanks guys for sending in some recommendations. If you're listening, please tweet us some stuff, any songs or artists that you've been digging. That's all we got.
I
want to
thank
all of you for listening. And I want to thank you, too, for joining and making fun of me for choosing a song featuring Tyga.
You'll know now.
Now the and rest is set. If you pick a Tyga song, you know what's coming.
But yeah, if there's any Jenners listening out there, hit me up. I'm ready to party.
He's got his black mesh cardigan on just for you.
Yes. Chris Jenner calls you. I heard you were okay with that one Prince Rice song featuring Tyga. Would you like to?
I would totally
marry
hang out
one
with
of
Chris
my
Jenner.
Members.
No, I don't want to marry her. That'd be awful. But. Hang out
all
with
right.
Sure,
take
definitely.
Care, everybody.
Anyways, have a great week. We'll
thanks,
see you next
guys.
Time.
Hi. Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.